I've got on the line now. Who have I got on the line now? I've got someone from WestConnex, and it is Pauline Lockie. That's who it is. Hello, Pauline, are you there?
Actually from the WestConnex Action Group.
Oh, the WestConnex Action Group. You're not actually from the company.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't think they're going to be hiring me anytime soon.
No? Because it's at the moment... We've had a number of different announcements from the government. And of course, WestConnex, if you don't know about it, it's a major infrastructure project to ease traffic, join up the M4 and M5 and widen things, build tunnels, bring in interchanges, all sorts of things. But there's a few problems for residents, isn't there, Pauline? What do you think's going on?
Yeah, look, there's lots of problems for residents when it comes to WestConnex. And I think that probably the... To put it into very simple terms, if you're a resident in Western or Southwestern Sydney who relies on your car to get around, this is going to cost you at least $20 a day in tolls once it opens up fully if you're to use the whole thing. So if you're in one of the communities that where they're going to build an exit or an interchange or a pollution stack, then you're going to be living with some very dire, destructive elements of this project: extra traffic, extra pollution. There's a lot of community destruction happening where they're building these interchanges because they're having to take so many homes and businesses and parklands away from communities. And just generally, if you're in New South Wales or even an Australian taxpayer, there is billions of dollars of public money going into this, and Australia has a very poor history when it comes to building tollways that actually end up turning a profit. So there is every indication as well that a lot of public money will be lost on this, and it won't actually deliver in the end the transport solution that Sydney needs to keep its people moving as our population grows.
I was just wondering, Pauline, like if we're going to be paying in cars to use the WestConnex, would public buses be paying as well? Was that going to be charged to the government, do you think, from the WestConnex Corporation or whatever they are?
Look, I don't think that's actually part of the plan, but it's hard to say, really, because of course there's a few areas where cost of living will increase when you build tollways and expect people to use those increasingly rather than other transport options. If you're a driver, then obviously that's a direct hit to your wallet every day that you use it, twice a day, presumably if you plan on heading back home again. And also for all of us, WestConnex has always been pushed as a solution for trucks, that we need to get trucks off our surface roads and into this tollway tunnel. Now, trucks are going to pay three times the amount of tolls to use WestConnex, and they will pass that cost directly on to their suppliers, who will pass it on eventually to us in the terms of the increases in the cost of goods and goods that we use as a result of that. So there are many hits coming our way if this whole thing gets built.
But there's changes all the time, isn't there? I know there was one that they talked about a couple of months ago at the Roselle section, and now there's no inlet, or what do you call it, in or out sort of tunnel to
interchange
so is what I'm trying to say. That's those words, isn't it? The interchange at Camperdown, which so that might be better for the people that live around there, mightn't it?
Yeah, look, you know, certainly though, if you were living where they were planning to put that interchange in Camperdown, where they were planning to take a series of homes in Glebe to build that, then this is a big relief. And of course, one of the big issues with the Camperdown interchange was that all of these tunnelling construction works were going to have to happen right on the doorstep of Royal Prince Alfred Hospital. And that was going to be very bad news for their research facilities, very bad news for patient access, and very bad news if you're a patient staying there and you're having to deal with dust and vibration. But the issue with these massive changes that we're seeing is that it points to the whole farcical nature of the planning process for WestConnex. There was never at any stage an attempt to actually look at the issues we're having in Sydney with congestion, with population growth, with where people are actually living and working, and figure out what would be the best solutions to deliver that. What actually happened was that some years ago, Nick Greiner actually came to the New South Wales government and said, I think we should build this tollway called WestConnex. And since then, all the planning has been about trying to justify building a tollway from Western Sydney through the inner city back out to Southwest Sydney again. And of course, when you get that, you get a whole lot of issues because there are not many cities in the world that will turn around and say that building massive urban motorways is a good idea, because what it tends to do is make traffic worse and make a lot of other social issues much worse as well.
It's a shame, really, they didn't work out the roads before they actually sold the land in Sydney, because this is what we seem to have happen all the time here in this city of ours, that we build things, we don't have the services all organised beforehand. It's just the property developers go ahead and whack up all this stuff, and there's no way to get... I just remember going up to some friend's place at Kellyville, and the road there was a goat track. I mean, I think they've improved it since, the last time I went up that way. But I've got all these people that are being buying their houses out there, and there's no public transport, and it's still, like, you know, one lane each way for the only way you can get in and out, which is via car.
Absolutely.
We don't seem to have a plan, do we?
We don't have a plan, and that's something New South Wales... I mean, WestConnex is an issue... Exactly what you're talking about. The whole reason we're looking at WestConnex now is for years and years and years, we didn't really build anything except, as you said, more houses. People were moving out west, and we haven't delivered the services that are needed to service all those people who are now living in our western suburbs. And the issue is that that's why with WestConnex, it sounds very attractive on one hand, that here's a big road that Western Sydney needs that is going to connect Western Sydney commuters to the city. The problem is, though, is that it's not... Pretty much every independent expert you can find is saying that this is not actually the solution we need for people in Western Sydney. What we actually need is better public transport out there, or even any public transport, because in much of Western Sydney it's very poorly serviced indeed. We need jobs.
You know, and this is the opportunity now, isn't it, when we're actually expanding into that area.
Exactly.
You'd think that there'd be a lot of proposals. And even, we talk about light rail and so forth. There's all those busways out there that which were built for the buses. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a perfect place for a tram, isn't it, or a light rail system.
Well, look, and, you know, there's still talk about building light rail around Parramatta especially. And, and again, if you'd speak to independent transport experts, they'll tell you that what's not needed is yet another tollway in Sydney, and yet another way of connecting people to Western Sydney to one CBD. What's actually needed is better connections within Western Sydney, because if you live in our west, chances are you don't work in the city, and if you do, you're using public transport to get there. You're not going to be... I mean, can you imagine if you lived in Penrith? You're not going to be driving into the city, forking out all that money in tolls, trying to find somewhere to park your car and having to pay for that privilege as well, and adding hours to your day in which you can't do anything except concentrate on not having an accident on the M4. This is crazy planning, and it, as I mentioned earlier, it's not the kind of planning that really successful cities are putting in place. What they're doing is building public transport, and where they're increasing density, they're making sure that the services that people need, schools, hospitals, transport systems, jobs, are actually where people are based, not forcing them to travel for a couple of hours a day because they only have one viable city centre.
Yeah, and I think it's getting beyond the stage where you can assume that people are going to the city in the morning peak and then going out of the city in the afternoon peak, and that's the only way. That it's working, because, you know, it could be, well, look, if we're going to have the airport out at Badgerys Creek, you know, you might need to go from Kingsford to the airport at Badgerys Creek. Well, how do you do that on public transport? It's impossible.
Absolutely.
How do you do that with roads? I mean, it'd be pretty... you might get onto the WestConnex, and I don't know, but it's not... it's all regarded as sort of one thing. You're only going to be doing one thing. People don't need to go from, you know, Terry Hills to Kirrawee or something, or Terry Hills to Penrith, because they don't think that you need to. But really, you need to have some sort of connectedness that we don't seem to have. And as you say, this is what happens in cities overseas. You know, the wonderful metro systems and so forth, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And look, the problem with WestConnex is, so far, the official price tag on WestConnex is $17 billion. And so far, that's all getting funded out of the public purse. Now, unless the first parts of the tollway can be sold at a profit, and as I said, you know, we've already seen with Cross City Tunnel, Lane Cove Tunnel, those kinds of tollways tend to make massive losses. That's the whole reason we're having to pay for it as taxpayers, WestConnex as taxpayers at the moment. If that's not spent, then all that money has gone into this one tollway that is not going to deliver most of Sydney needs, because it's still only going to be used by a very small proportion of commuters in Sydney to start with. And that, of course, is money that can't be spent on the kinds of things you're talking about, you know, better connection, transport for people who live within Western Sydney and work within Western Sydney. And that's not setting us up very well for our future at all.
Now, I don't expect that Duncan Gay's taking many of your calls at the moment either.
He's met with a few people from our group, but, you know, he tends to prefer dealing in insults with it when it comes to the opposition to the tollway. And, you know, look, it's very easy for politicians like Duncan Gay, for Mike Baird, to try and play off concerns about WestConnex as just being pure NIMBYism, about people not wanting a tollway in their backyards. But, again, you look at the research, you look at if these kinds of building kind big motorways that connect the bits of the city to each other actually worked, then Los Angeles would be known for its, you know, being traffic nirvana, for being very free flowing. And of course,
you don't have to walk there. That's the thing I know about Los Angeles.
Well, you go across the road, you don't really have a choice.